You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
Well, this is kind of a bittersweet moment for Becca and I. This will be my last time to address you guys. Next week I'll be here and we'll go through the pastor installation service. That's a pretty neat thing. Hope you guys come back next week. But this will be kind of my last time to kind of share with you some things and all that. It's not a traditional sermon. I want to take the opportunity to tell you what pastors wish their churches knew about themselves. I want you to picture me as John Russo, who's your new pastor coming in next week. Now, John is not as purdy as I am, so you'll have to work through some of that. I want to prepare you for how to treat your pastor. How's that sound? Y'all with me on this? So, please, if you don't like what's about to happen or what I say or whatever, you didn't get a sermon today, go home and ask God to give you a good sermon in your quiet time. And I'm sure he'll give you a good one. Now, this is going to be peppered with scriptures throughout. So we're going to look at several things. We're going to read some scriptures. And then I'm going to say, here's what you need to do, you know, from this time forward. Oh, by the way, I'm also going to say a lot of stories. So let me do the disclaimer now. They're not all from Sabina Road. In fact, very few of them are from Sabina Road. Y'all with me? So don't, every time I say, I remember one time, I'm not talking about Bob Bedell or Ted Buell. It could be someone else. He's not even laughing. Bob's didn't even hear that. Are y'all with me on this? Come on, everyone have a good time. We just took the Lord's Supper. We're with him. And let's get going. Tom Rainer asked his deacons when he was a pastor. You guys ready? Even Ted Buell doesn't even know what I'm talking about, do you? He asked his pastor, he asked his deacons, what amount of time do I need to put into certain aspects of the church so that you guys will be satisfied? Y'all hear what I said? Deacons. I keep hearing those things fall. I'm a little loose today, so just play with me. I still remember being in a church where they would serve this, the two cups, and I remember the pastor getting up and saying, when you guys have the cups, just put them in the rack in front of you. Don't squish them because they'll break. And do you know what happened as soon as he said that? You could hear six or eight throughout that. And isn't that sin? Yeah, don't do this and we want to do it. It's funny, isn't it? Anyway. How many hours a week do I need to put into certain things? Guys, don't squish those things. Don't squish the things. Woo. All right, guys, ready? Sermon preparation. The deacon said you need to put in 18 hours. Administrative functions, 18 hours. Okay, are you doing the math? Hospital visitation, 15 hours. Prayer at the church, not at home, at the church, 14 hours. Outreach and evangelism, 10 hours. Counseling, 10 hours. Community involvement, 5. By the way, I get kind of irritated because those top 4 or 5 are all about the church. put 5 hours into the neighborhood too. Make sure you go witnessing in the neighborhood. Denominational involvement, 5 hours. Church meetings, 5 hours. Worship and preaching, 4 hours. And then anything else, some other stuff in there, 10 hours. Are you calculating? How many? 114. Yeah, can you believe? 114 hours. And this was the minimum amount. Pastor, if you want to do a good job here, you need to put in 114 hours. Now, if you want to break that down, that's 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's just to make them happy. He said, if I took a day off and worked the 6 hours a week, it would be 19 hours a day for 6 days a week. Here's the thing. Clearly, a pastor would sense the tension involved in having to do all these hours. And there's clearly no way that a pastor can do all those things. Y'all with me on that?
Yes.
When John gets here, he's going to be very excited for this new place, this new opportunity. Please, please, please don't force things on him that he shouldn't be doing. You guys continue to do your fair share. One of the benefits of not having a pastor for the last couple of years is you guys have had to step up to the plate and do a lot of stuff, right? Continue doing that. I don't want to see this any time in the next 6 months. Here it comes. Whew. New pastors here. I don't want to see that at all. Guys, get this. Everyone look at that. Uh-uh. Well, someone just moved in across the street. The pastor needs to go see him. No. You need to go see him. Well, we need to get something done in the Sunday school. I guess the pastor will take care of that. No, you take care of it. You continue to work. Y'all with me? Don't just because the new guy's here say, well, we'll let him do it. Man, he's got a million different things coming. There's a few things I want you to know. You guys ready? Number one, every pastor wished that their church knew that he was human. You guys probably think I'm Superman, don't you? Yeah, there's one person laughing over there. No, we didn't think you were Superman. We can't do everything. The second part of that, I'm only human, I'm sinful. Yeah. I want to read to you 1 Timothy 1:15 through 17. This is a faithful and trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance and approval, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost of sinners, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example or pattern for those who would believe in him for eternal life. What did Paul just say? I'm the worst of the worst. I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the very worst. And guys, I want you to know, pastors know that. We know we're sinners. Do you know why? We preach on it every week. Every week, I feel like a hypocrite when I stand before you. You know, whenever I say, man, this has been a hard week, I've really had to struggle with this sermon. I'm not just saying that. I'm struggling with it. Do you know why? I hate to preach some of these sermons that God has me to preach because I know what's coming. Satan's going to attack me. You think it's fun when I hear God say you're going to have to talk about sin in your life, you're going to have to talk about doing the right things, you're going to have to talk about being this and that and the other? That hurts me. Satan attacks. My lovely bride is sitting over here. She'll be glad to vouch for me on this. Every time I preach on something, that week is full of that stuff. You follow me? Preaching's hard. It's not just, hey, I found something at sermon.com or whatever it is, I'll throw this out. Oh, if you're walking with the Lord, Satan knows that he's going to be angry. And when you're preaching on something, oh, it comes up. It comes up. Does that make sense to y'all? So, here's what I want you to do. I'm human. John's human. You're human. Cut John some slack. cut John some slack. When he's leaving the door and he's got things on his mind and he's trying to get home or there's something and he doesn't necessarily look at you. By the way, I'm not being facetious. This happens. People have gotten mad at me somewhere, maybe here, maybe other places, because I didn't respond right when I was leaving the building. You all with me? I'm just human. I'm sorry. I didn't see that. John's not going to see it either. Even when you say, hey, would you do this? And he goes, yeah. He's going to forget. He's human. You all with me? So give him the benefit of the doubt. Cut him a little bit of slack, okay? There was one time I was in a church and I didn't do the right thing. Someone said, can we do this in the church? And I said, yeah, it's a good idea. Just didn't even think about it. It was 6 months later. Six months later. And the guy said, well, I didn't want to talk to you because you're not going to do this. And I said, well, what are you talking about? Well, I asked you to do this and you never did it. I don't even remember that. Don't even remember. Well, it must not have been very important to you. Man, we're human. We're human. So far, so good?
Yep.
You guys all thought I was perfect, didn't you? See, honey? See? I told you. Do you want to say anything? You want to testify? Yeah. I'm glad no one else can hear that. Okay, number two. It's kind of related. Engagement takes two. Engagement takes two. And I've been married to Becca 14 happy years. 27 total, but 14 happy ones. If you're married, you know it's a two-way street, right? No one gets married by themselves. Y'all with me? Engagement takes two.
How come the pastor never talks to me?
Talk to him. Talk to him.
Well, he should know this and that.
Tell him. Engagement takes two. One of the things, you guys, some of you know I'm a certified leadership coach. One of the things in coaching is you never get over-involved with whatever the problem is more than the one you're coaching. And that happens quite a bit. When you're in a coaching situation, they say, hey, here's an issue, and you get kind of excited because you've dealt with something like this before, and now all of a sudden you're kind of over-involved, and they're sitting back saying, I just wanted to talk about it. Lots of times people will say, would you talk to my cousin, my brother, there's someone that just, you need to do this or whatever. And a good pastor will always say, I would be more than happy to talk to them. If they want to talk to me. It's a two-way street. We're not always on our game. Now here's something unique. Sunday is God's game. And I don't mean that don't take that in a shallow way. I don't mean a game, but this is the Lord's day. So your pastor is focused on the Lord. He's focused on delivering the message. A lot of times church members will come on Sunday thinking, this is our day for church. This is our day. And so oftentimes we don't see the engagement happening because we're laser focused on delivering the word. Does that sound good to you? Do you understand what I'm saying? Pastor, there's no toilet paper over here. Now that's a big deal. I would take care of that instantly. Just come up with something else. There's no cups in the cupboard, or I don't know. A lot of times that doesn't resonate. It just doesn't resonate. And it's not because we flippantly kick that to the curb. It's because, okay, I'll make a mental note of that, and we forget. Then later on, I'm not re-engaged in that. Well, I told the pastor, I wonder how come we still don't have cups in the cupboard. Give me a break. Give John a break. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Engagement takes two. Let me go on the other side as well. There's a couple of hundred, there's probably 160 or so people here today. There's probably a couple hundred on a really good day with kids and all that. There's probably another 100 that are here and there, snowbirds or whatever. So there's 200 or 300 people in the church. There's probably 200 or 300 people that think we're going to be John's best friend. You do not engage your pastor to be his buddy, to be his friend, over any other issue but the walk with God. What I mean is this. Don't try to palsy up to him on other things other than his walk with God. Pastors, our walk with God is paramount. If you want to be a good buddy to your pastor, connect with him in your walk with God. Does that make sense? Don't try to buy him off. Don't try to take him out to play golf 20 times a month. It's funny when we try to let other people know that we're kind of in with the pastor. You start doing that, your pastor's going to back off. He's going to back off. So don't start palling around and say, well, me and the pastor did this and that, you know, or I talked to him 10 times this week. Old pastor. No, you like that. Yeah, that's happened before, hasn't it? Oh, yeah, me and the pastor. Respect him. Respect him a little bit. So that engagement, that takes a couple of places. One is don't over-engage, don't under-engage. And give them the benefit of the doubt. Let the common bond of your life with Christ be your connection with Christ. You guys are going to be so impressed with me after I read this verse. It's been a long time since I've had Greek and Hebrew, especially Greek, so here it comes. When I read this, this is Paul talking to the church at Rome. We have a book in the Bible that's named after that. What book is it? Romans. Good job, you guys. So here it comes. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. That's not too bad. My fellow workers in Christ Jesus who risk their own necks, endangering their very lives for my life. To them not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Also greet the church that meets in their house. Greet my beloved Apocynatus, who is the first convert to Christ from the west coast province of Asia Minor. Greet Mary, who has worked so hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my kinsmen and my once fellow prisoners, who were held in high esteem in the estimation of the apostles, and who were believers in Christ before me. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Statius. Greet Apelles, the one tested and approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the house of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodian. Greet those of the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Whew. Those are hard words to say. What is he talking about? Greet this one, greet that one, greet the other. What do you keep saying? They're in the Lord, they're my friends. He didn't say, hey, greet Joe Blow, who takes me golfing all the time. He said, greet these guys who have mud and dirt under their fingernails who have been working with me. You want to be palsies with your pastor? Work in the Lord. That's his greatest thing, is working for the Lord. Y'all with me? So if you want to get close to him, get close to the Lord. Amen? Third thing I've kind of already talked about, sermons are hard work. Sermons are hard work. One, finding the text. Is now the right time for the text? Is this how we need to deal with it? What's going on in the church? How do I put it on social media if I'm going to do that? How does it best fit who I'm talking to? There's a lot of things with the sermon. They're hard work. And again, then the extra part of that sermon is there's always attacks. So don't talk to the pastor Sunday morning about some issue that can wait till Tuesday. Amen? Now, also, at some church, either now or in my past, I've been hit with several things. One, the sermons are too long. Have you heard that? No. Tell me that on a Tuesday after you've prayed through it. Okay? And on the way out, don't try to be funny with something I did in the sermon. Wow, Pastor, I guess the Spirit got a load of you because it's I'm preaching what God told me to preach today, okay? A couple things about the sermon. If you don't like the sermon, go home and chew it up. If it's biblical, here it comes, if it's biblical, repent. There's something about that that's irritating you. Yes! Let me say it one more time. Did I see that? As a pastor, this is how we think. There's something about my sermon that irritates you. Yes! I did it. Thank you, Lord. Do you understand what I just did? That's how a pastor thinks. This word is supposed to irritate you into getting closer to God. It is not supposed to be, here's the sugar cookies, here's the candy canes, is everyone happy, is everyone okay? Let's hold hands on the way out. And nothing happened of significance in the church. We're just like we were an hour ago when we walked in. A good pastor will go, that was a waste. A good pastor, when he sees people struggling, when he sees people getting irritated, when he sees people saying, I don't know if I need to, that's the Spirit working in them. Y'all with me? Yeah. We go, yes. Yes. You should too. Now here's what I'm saying. You go out the door and someone says, I don't like what he said about whatever, tithing 10%. You know, you don't see that in the New Testament. Your ear should pop up. You should instantly go, how come you don't like that? Is it in the scripture? If it's in the scripture, repent. Second thing, if your pastor's teaching something that's not in the scripture, you go to him. Y'all hear that? You don't get the little posse together and say, did you hear that? Did you hear that? Am I missing it? And get a little faction together. You go to him. You say, you said this in the sermon. I'm not sure if I heard it right or not. By the way, if he's preaching stuff that's not in the word, maybe he doesn't know it. You say, did you say this on Sunday? It's Tuesday now. I prayed through it for a couple days. Maybe I missed it. By the way, that's how you talk to a pastor. Maybe I missed it. Can you explain to me? You don't go in going, ah. And he'll say, well, this is what I meant and all that. I didn't get that. What's your pastor going to say? Well, let me explain it. By the way, on Sunday, he'll say, last week, by the way, there was a question, and it's on this. This is what the scripture said. So if I said in a wrong way or whatever, there you go. What did you just do to that pastor? You helped them. You helped them. You don't get everyone in a tither and say, are we sure he's following in the right way? You go and talk to him one-on-one. That's what Matthew 18, Matthew 5, 1 Corinthians 5, this is what it says. Okay? So one, I don't like what he said. If it's biblical, repent. If it's not biblical, go talk to him. That sounds pretty good, huh? For 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures God breathed, given by divine inspiration, and is profitable for instruction, for conviction of sin, for correction of error and restoration to obedience, for training in righteousness, for learning to live in conformity to God's will, both publicly and privately. Behaving honorably with personal integrity and moral courage, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, outfitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. You want to know something about John? He's a biblical preacher. Biblical preachers, as we teach in seminary, stay out of the way of the text. We let the Bible teach. Do you know who John's father-in-law is? John's father-in-law is Paul Smith. At our seminary, I have 12 faculty. Three of us are what's known as trustee elected faculty. It's kind of with tenure. It means that the trustees of the Southern Baptist Convention have hired us to be faculty members. This is a big thing. One of those is Paul Smith. That's the father-in-law. Paul Smith is my preaching professor at Gateway. His father-in-law is my preaching professor. Y'all understand this? Every preaching class you take at Gateway, his father-in-law teaches. So when he comes here and if there's issues with the preaching, he's working on it, I can assure you. Does this make sense? Man, Hey, this is a fun sermon, you guys. Next thing, and I'm going to go very fast. Just a couple more things. Constructive criticism. Do you hear me? Constructive criticism is nice. It's nice. When's the best time to give constructive criticism?
Right after the sermon.
Right after the sermon. That's right. If you can, when I get my Bible and my foot is about right here, now's the time to form a line right here. Somewhere in my past, you guys know that I put my little headphone on, my thing, you know, and all that out here, and I've always done that. So again, I'm not necessarily saying here, but somewhere in my past, I remember going out to put my headphone on and all that, and one of my staff was getting reamed out in the middle of the service. We're singing Glory Hallelujah, and he is ripping to shreds one of my staff members. Y'all with me? I'm sitting here ready to preach the Word of God, and I have to hear all this kind of stuff. The best time to criticize your pastor is Tuesday morning. It's not Sunday. Sunday's Lord's Day. If you don't like something, see if Sunday works that out. If Sunday doesn't, take Monday. Really focus in on that. If it's still there, Tuesday, get an appointment, go down there, have an ice cream cone in your hand, please, and meet with the pastor. And start off with, I've been struggling with this, I've been praying through this, because John is a good pastor. And just like I have, every single time someone says, I've got an issue, my first question is, how is your walk with God? Have you worked through this? Are you still working through it? Because half the time it's, no, I'm just mad that we're doing whatever. Well, then go have a wonderful walk with God, and then let's talk in a couple hours. Constructive criticism is good Tuesday morning. Next thing, major changes are for the church. John's going to come in and we have good solid vision for the church. He's going to come in and maybe in a few weeks or months going to say, hey, why don't we try this or that or the other? Do you know why he's doing that? It's to make you mad. No. We don't just change things because we want to. Major changes for the church. For the church, because we love you, want to draw you closer. So when he says, I've been praying through that, I think we should change this, you're first, they give the benefit of the doubt. Maybe God's telling him that we need to change. What is it? Don't just say, well, he just likes to do that because that's who he is. No, changes are for the church. I've got there's never enough time. You guys probably know that, right? There's never enough time. A pastor is always bombarded with so many things. When you request things of your pastor, don't attach anything else personally with that. So oftentimes a pastor will be asked a question, will you do this or will you do that? But it's set up with, I want to do this, Pastor. Now, you want to do that or this? Because we're all doing this, Pastor. So what do you want to do? Don't attach things like that. Does this make sense? Don't go in and say, this is what we're going to do. Say, Pastor, where have you been? What's God shown you? What do you see? I Googled a bunch of this online, so you know it's true because it's on the internet. So I'm gonna share just a couple things with you. It's a good sermon, isn't it? This is fun. This is really cool. I should get a copy of this and put it in our pastoral ministry class. This is the first time I've ever done it. I don't know who this came from, but it was top four things you shouldn't do to your pastor. Number one, please don't ask me to do something or respond to something right before I preach. We've already handled that. Please don't criticize me until you've prayed and thought through your criticism. I don't know. I probably receive 4 or 5 criticisms a week. What do you think? And that's just in my house. No, I'm just kidding. Some are nitpicky, some are visional, some are direction, some are leadership, some are, yeah, I probably get 4 or 5. Do the math on that, that's a couple of hundred a year. Please don't pick up the phone and call your pastor and ream them out for something until you get all the facts together, okay? And then hold your pastor in love and respect. There's very few pastors out there that really want to be jerks, that really want to hammer things because this is the way we're going to do it. They're trying to be biblical. So if your pastor has biblical precedence, foundation, and trust them. Say, okay, I may not like it, but by the way, most of the things that God wants me to do, I don't like it at first because my heart's not there. Third thing, please don't expect me to be everywhere. Fourth thing, guys, listen. Please don't treat my family members like they're church employees. Please don't treat my family members like they're church employees. By the way, you've been great to Becca. But you know, Becca and Brock have not been here very much over the last, you know, year or so with bowling and all that stuff. When they get here, you have called John as your pastor. Alicia is his wife. She is not an employee of the church. Let her find out what she needs to do in the church. Amen?
Amen.
That's a big amen. Amen?
Amen.
Don't expect her to do things because, well, the last pastor's wife did it. Or, well, if I were a pastor's wife, this is what I would do. You let her figure that out, okay? And work with her on that. Two other things, top things. By the way, one other thing that just came up, things that you shouldn't do to your pastor, you keep your word to your pastor. Keep your word to your pastor. If you have an agreement with him, if you're gonna do something, keep your word. Don't just decide, you know, I was gonna do this, but now I'm not. Some of you, I saw, we're gonna unload the truck and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. If you're going to show up, be there. If you say, I'm going to be there. Do what you say that you'll do. The worst thing that can happen to a church is they start to decide not to do the things that they said we're going to do. Two things not to ask your pastor to do. Anything against Scripture. Don't ask your pastor to do anything against Scripture. And then what's the second thing? Don't do anything against the law. Does that make sense? A few weeks ago, by the way, I'm going to back you up on this. A few weeks ago, when we voted for the pastor, we had decided if you're not a member of the church, you can't vote. Did you guys know that? I think Mitch said something. I wasn't here that day, but I think Mitch said if you're not a member, you can't vote. Well, a couple things about that. About a year before, we had sent out from the deacon board something about leaders in the church. If you're a leader in the church, you need to be a member, you need to be a tither, you need to be with God, you know, things like that. One of them was you had to be a member of the church. So over the course of the year, some people didn't like that. Well, if I'm just visiting, can't I continue to be a leader in the church and so forth? Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, no, you're called to be a member of the church. Join the church. Remember, I was here a couple weeks ago. I said, join the church. When that didn't go over very well, because a few people said, well, why can't we not be members and still run the church? When that didn't go over, we heard from the insurance guy. The insurance guy said, you got to have members working in the church. You're liable for not having members if they're working in the church and they're not members. You're all with me on that. What Mitch said Sunday, what has it been, a month or two ago, whatever it was, is legal. 501c3 organizations cannot have non-members vote on member issues. Y'all with me? I'm getting irritated here. because I said, here's what the Bible says about being a member. Oh, we don't like that. Well, here's what the insurance guy says about not being a member. Well, I don't like that either. Well, this is what the state of Arizona says about being a member and voting. Don't ask, if it's not good enough, if the Bible says it and that's not good enough for you, listen to the insurance guy. And if you don't like the insurance, listen to the law. I hate to say that. Why don't we stop at the Bible and say, it says it? I'll do it. Ah! Becca, this has by far been the longest interim I've ever done. The last few have been about a year and a little bit over a year. This one's about a year, almost a year and a half. Man, pretty good looking crowd, huh? So first off, I'd like to thank you for all your love, your support, your respect. When we do these vision clinics, it's not being a pure interim pastor, because you know I'm not here during the week. So it is a lot more leadership and a lot more preaching. And the shepherding part is the one part that kind of doesn't get done a lot. I also want to share with you, we were talking about this on the drive down today, and especially at that mountain. What mountain is it? Picacho Peak. God always talks to me at Picacho Peak. Satan is saying, go to the Dairy Queen and get your little thing. And Jesus says, keep going, I'm going to talk to you. We were talking about all the things that happened to us this year. And I don't know if you guys knew this or not. So we came in March of last year. And we moved in May. By the way, they say the greatest stressors that anyone endures is what? Move. What's next? Change a job. And then family shifts or issues, you know, new school, new whatever. The Russos are doing three of those this week. Okay? Have you been considering the Russos right now? They're in a little church in New Mexico speaking right now. They're about to get hit with cake and ice cream, I bet, and love and all that. Alicia's heart is going to hit the floor. Y'all with me? Pray for them. This is hard. Leaving a church is hard. Then the church itself is left. What do we do and all that? Pray for the church, pray for the Russos. Anyway, so we moved in June. We moved in June and started a new ministry. Oh, and that was difficult. Then we moved in September. Thanks, Brandy. Thanks for telling me what to say. Then we moved in September. Yes, it is. Then we moved in September. So that's two moves in the first couple of months. In about October or so, we started talking to someone about buying our property at the school. So we started, I mean, this is still going on. By the way, the latest on that is we're supposed to close on August the 29th. So we'll see if that works and all that. We'll see. So we moved in. We were counting up. I've been in the hospital starting in January five times, two times in the emergency. They still don't know what's wrong with the heart. I had a meeting with the guy this week, and for the first time, the word pacemaker was brought out. So I've got a couple of meetings next week or the week after, and so we're still trying to figure that stuff out. Just to let you know, you guys have taken care of me financially, and I appreciate that. A bad part of that is every dime of that went to the hospital and the doctors. That was not covered by insurance. There's two ways to look at that. I want you to know that without you taking care of us, we'd be in a lot of trouble, okay? But you were faithful. And you took care of us, and our medical bills are done until next time I got to go back in, until next week. Then we moved again. We moved in May. So we've had three moves in the last year. I forgot the We sold the house in Tennessee in June or July. And then for you that don't know them, when they came and got our furniture, they stole our furniture. So we had to pay $17,000 for our furniture. Do you guys understand every single week you guys were with us on that? I know a lot of you think that the pastor should only get up and preach the Word of God, which he should. But I'm one that wants you to know that in the ebb and flow, the rhythm of life, we're living in a neighborhood like you are, and we're having to deal with things like you do. And so the Word of God is not just found in the Bible, and it's not just found in this church, it's out there. Y'all with me? I don't know if John's going to give you a lot of personal stories and all that. If he does, awesome. If you don't like that, keep it to yourself. God's telling them what to say. So just go along with it. Amen? Man, love you guys. It has just been a pleasure to be here. And the growth that has happened in so many of you, oh, it's just neat to see. Next week is about John and Alicia coming. I will be here. In fact, I'll be leading most of the service. But it is not about us. And so I wanted this time together with you this week, okay? So next week, you make sure that everything's about John and Alicia, and welcome them in. Love you guys so much. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word and for your time that you've given us today. And bless us as we go our way. In Jesus' name, amen.